Good morning, everyone. The Irish have a little expression, and since I was born in Ireland, I can use it in this context. Often when a preacher will get up to speak, he would say, "Before I speak, I'd like to say something." So I'd like to say something. Not about Greg at all, because that would take till after lunch to start anything there. But first time I ever came to this church was, believe it or not, 52 years ago, 1967, centennial year here in Canada. And during that year, there was a youth congress that was held in Ottawa. And some of you may know Dr. Roy Lawson. Dr. Roy, who was a great friend, was one of the point people on that particular congress. And so Alta Vista was used, and a number of people from the church were billeted with youth during that time. And I remember having breakfast here in Alta Vista, and then they would bus us to the Met, and the Met at that point was the center for all of the activities that took place. So that was rather interesting to come back and to see the building again. I do remember being here about little more than 20 years ago when Pastor McLeod was here, and Brian and Carol, yes, the Stewarts were here. I spoke at a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. They were doing a series on the book of Hebrews, the heroes of the faith. And they asked me to come. And Greg, actually, I don't remember Greg remembers this, but we drove down from Guelph and spent a couple of days here in Ottawa. So there's a lot of warm memories that I have as a young person. We all had Canadian plaid. Anybody remember that? We certainly stood out in those days. I don't do that any longer, except my wife wanted me to wear this yellow shirt and sweater for this morning because not exactly sure why, but that's who I am. Yeah. I do congratulate you on the steps that you're taking in terms of renovation. As a church in Guelph, we have just finished renovating. The renovation that we have taken place was over 2 years, a little more than $2.5 million. And it seems really ridiculous, but we didn't even take any paint on new walls or new carpet. All of our renovation took place internally. All of the lighting system, all of the heating and air conditioning, the old water system had to be removed. And so it took us a little over 2 years to complete that. Thankfully, the Lord had provided the money for that. We're just finishing that project, and we're looking forward to that. We do have a Christian school that uses our building. The building has 60,000 square feet in it, and there's a Christian school that is part of the church. And so that's why it took us 2 years in order to do it, because it had to be done in stages in terms of the school. So you're in for as they say, a great ride in terms of your renovation. And it will be well worth it when you're finished. Just one thing that we discovered, our utility costs was $40,000 a year. That was just to put the lights on. One of the parts of our building is a gymnasium, a double-sized gymnasium. In order to turn the switches on at the gym, it took 15 minutes to fire up in terms of the full force, in terms of the lighting. And then some little guy would turn the lights out, right? So we had to wait 15 minutes for it to cool down, and then another 15 minutes for it to... Now, with the lighting, the LED lights, it will save us. They figure probably in 2 years we will recoup that, and I'm sure that you will discover some of those things too. So, this morning, there's another disadvantage, and that is that I already smell the barbecue going. So, friends, let's go to it on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 and following. If you could turn that for that passage, that would be great, and then we will look very quickly at some thoughts from that. Let's just bow in prayer before we begin. Father, thank you for this glorious time that you've given to us, for the time of fellowship that we have, for the songs that have been sung together to praise you. We thank you. We would ask now that you would enable us to focus our minds upon you and upon your word, and ask, Father, that you would be with us by the Spirit of God, and that you would accomplish your purposes in our lives, even as we gather together at this time. We commit ourselves to you, and it's in the strong name of the Lord Jesus that we pray. Amen. I want to remind you that from chapter 40 and on in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is projecting his message to the children of Israel when they came back from captivity in Babylon. They had been there for 70 years, and when they came back to Jerusalem, they discovered that absolutely everything that they knew had been destroyed. Everything was gone, including the temple. The Babylonians had basically carted the temple systematically, and had taken everything out of it, so that when they came back to Jerusalem, nothing of value from their perspective was gone. Everything was gone. And so they began to wonder, what's God doing in this situation? I want to suggest to you today that it's easy for us at times as believers to face a crisis in our lives and begin to ask some questions. God, what really are you doing in this situation? God, have you forgotten who I am? That's, in essence, what the children of Israel had done. They began to have some questions. And so Isaiah has a couple of rhetorical questions for them. And so he says to them, do you not know? Have you not heard? Of course they knew. Of course they knew what was going on. That God is still on the throne. But when you're in the middle of a crisis, it's easy to forget some of those precious ideas or pieces as to who God is. Has anybody been there? I have. When you face a crisis at times, you forget some situations and some thoughts and some great ideas about God that we normally just take for granted. And that's what took place in terms of the children of Israel. And so Isaiah is going to remind them some things about God. And I want to remind some things about God for you today. Because you may be individually, as a person, you may be facing some kind of real disaster. And you're wondering, is God still really there? Is he interested in who I am? And is he interested in what I'm doing? Of course he is. Yes, he is. But it's good to be reminded of some of those things. And so the first thing that Isaiah reminds the children of Israel is that God is a God who is sovereign. He is all sovereign. He says to the children of Israel in chapter 40 and verse 27, for instance, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My God has forgotten my way has been hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. Now, I'm not going to get into an argument today in terms of the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. I will leave that quite adequately to your pastors to deal with. They've been dealing with that for the last 2,000 years in terms of discovering the difference between or the sense in terms of the sovereignty of God and man's responsibility. But Isaiah simply says, do you not remember that God is the sovereign God? He is the creator of the earth. And if it's the creator of the earth, and he knows all about the earth, he knows about you. And I say to you this morning, as a child of God, God has not forgotten you. He is still on the throne. You may feel, I think he has somewhat forgotten me. No. God is still there. He is in control. Can I say to you this morning that government is not in control? Aren't you thankful? I am. I'm thankful that God is in control. God is in control. He knows exactly what's taking place. I'm thankful that the second thing that Isaiah says, that he's not only a sovereign God, but he is a God who will not grow tired or weary. Friends, we have, my wife and I, have 9 grandchildren. 3 of them here at Alta Vista. We're tired. My wife and I have been on the road for the last 3 weeks, traveling through Nova Scotia and into Prince Edward Island. We just got out of Prince Edward Island on Friday. We were supposed to fly back to Ottawa, from Charlottetown to Ottawa yesterday. We were able to get there on Friday because of the rain and the storms that were there. But we have 9 grandkids. We can get tired and weary. Aren't you thankful today that God never grows tired or weary of us? I'm thankful that when I come before God in prayer, he doesn't come back and says, what? Are you back again? No. He's always there, eager to listen to us. He doesn't just do it sort of when he wants to do it. He welcomes us into his presence all the time. He never is tired of us. We can be tired of each other. Let's be honest. I know in a congregation this size, there are people who are tired of each other. Hopefully not husbands and wives, right? But in the fellowship that we have with God and the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is no tiredness in any of them. They are always on alert for us. The third thing that Isaiah points out to the children of Israel is that his understanding no one can fathom. God is all sovereign. He is all strength. He is all knowing. Have you ever tried to figure God out? Can't be done. You're right. We are infinite. He is finite. And the finite will never fully understand the finite until we stand in his presence. Do you have some questions for God at that point? I do. But until we stand before him, he is the one who is the all-knowing one. There are times that we do question, God, why? Why did you allow this to happen? God, why? This is so difficult. This is so hurtful, so grievous. We will never understand God fully. One person has said to us in writing that God is so wide that he cannot explain himself. He is so loving that he would never do us anything wrong in terms of just being a tyrant. But he is always, always there with us. And I say to you today, if you're facing some crisis in your life, remember that God is always there. He is all sovereign. He is all knowing. He is all strength for you. But Isaiah goes on, and he says very quickly, and he increases the power of the weak. He gives strength to the weak. Isn't that great? Huh. He doesn't just give us these great points in an abstract. He says there's a way in which you also individually can know what his strength will be like. How do we do that? How are we to do that? Well, he says to us that even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope or wait in the Lord will renew their strength. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, in the Old Testament, the whole concept of waiting on God was for an individual who would wait on the promises of God. prime example of that is found in the book of Luke with that delightful couple, Simeon and Anna. In Luke chapter 2, writes that they were waiting for the consolation of what? Israel. And here they were. They were in the temple, literally in the temple, waiting day after day after day after day, waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah to be presented. And they were there. How do we wait upon God in the 21st century? How do we wait upon God in the 21st century? Let me suggest very quickly that there are two ways that we can wait upon God. And I'm going to suggest to you that at this point, these are apple pie issues. And I'm going to sound, oh, great, here we go again. You know, what are the two great issues? The Bible and prayer. But that's the way we wait upon God, my friends. First is the Bible itself. The New Testament tells us that if we are to know our strength, it comes in feeding, if you will, the Word of God. As 21st century believers, I think, and I don't say this critically, because I say this in terms of myself, that we have lost the discipline of simply reading and meditating on the Word of God. The little 3-minute a day devotional with God is what many people are trying to sustain their lives in terms of spiritual nourishment. You know, whatever the little booklet is, you read the little nice sayings, and then you read a small passage of scripture, and then you kind of close the book and say, well, done it for today, move along. I'm suggesting to us today that the reason we often discover that we don't have the strength spiritually that we need when we're in the middle of a crisis is because we don't feed upon the Word of God. And to meditate on the Word of God. The word meditate is an interesting word. It means literally to ruminate. It means basically to graze, if you will, on the Word of God. It's not just. Let me put it to you this way. At the church, we last year went through the Bible through the year, which was great. But then I discovered that people were just reading through because they wanted to follow through the program. You know, and so they were just reading to speed through the Word of God, and I thought, well, what of use is that? We need, I believe, as believers in the 21st century, to spend time reading, meditating, feeding on the Word of God. It's not so much the quantity of the word that you take. It's the quality that you will take that will cause you and me to discover strength on those times. Well, if the Word of God is so necessary, prayer is our necessary breath. The Bible tells us that men ought always to pray rather than to lose heart. During my experience as a pastor, we lived in British Columbia. During the part of that time, I was in the fellowship office in British Columbia, and then here in Ontario, working in the fellowship office. And in British Columbia, one of the responsibilities I had was to deal with churches that had difficulties. Could have been a leadership problem. Could have been a financial problem. It could have been all kinds of different things. I remember one time in a small church, they were really having a struggle. And it was a leadership problem. And so they had asked if we would come in and help them through the scrambled eggs, if you will, of their situation. And so in listening to a congregational meeting, one dear saint of God finally said, "We've tried to do everything else. Why don't we pray about it?" And I'm thinking, what? That the last resort we often use is prayer. I'm suggesting to us today that what we need to do if we are to know renewed strength is the Word of God and prayer. Prayer is our necessary breath. If the Word of God is our necessary food, prayer is our necessary breath. Why is it that we at times seem to have a lack of strength? It is because we are not praying the way we ought to pray. A little talk with Jesus may not always make things right all right. It may take time on our knees with Him. And both of those disciplines seem to me imply patience and perseverance. Patience. We were shopping yesterday in the mall. Not one of my favorite spots. Patience. We weren't really looking at too much, but we're looking at everything, you know, with three kids, including Purdy's, which we didn't have any. But patience. We need, as believers, to have patience in terms of waiting on God. J.C. Ryle, who was an Anglican in the mid-1800s, spoke to a group of pastors that were congressed together. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to remember what he said to them. But it was something like this. He said the difficulty that many of us has, and this was to pastors in the mid-1800s, the difficulty that many of us has is that we have a scattering of energies over an amazing multiplicity of needs that we do not have the necessary time for receptive and observing God. Prayer with God. If that was true in the mid-1800s, how much more in our society? Friends, if we want to know renewed strength, we need to spend time with Him. The word renewed there is also interesting because the word could be translated not just renewed, but exchanged. And this is what takes place as we wait upon God in the Word of God and in prayer. There will be an exchange that will take place. He, God, will exchange our weakness for his strength. For our instability, for his stability. He is the one who has gifted to us the ability to know the God of the universe, to be in a personal relationship with him. And that is not just in terms of salvation, but it's in the day by day that we have. And that's why Isaiah says to the children of Israel that it's even he will increase the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young people know what that's like. The kind of pressures that are upon them. And young men stumble and fall. And let me also add, some older folk will do that. Right? Friends, as I grow older, I know that that's hard for you to believe, but I am a little older than, well, I'll just leave that. I have a personal prayer. And that prayer is that as I get older, I grow old gracefully in the kingdom of God. Wow. I've bumped into people who have been believers for a long, long time, but unfortunately are not growing old gracefully. They need strength to do that. I need strength to do that. We all need that strength, whether it's young, middle-aged, or older. And the only way we can do that is by waiting upon him. My friend, I trust today that that you know personally that God is your God in Christ, and that you know him to be his all-sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And that you can also know that strength. And as a church, you can know that strength as you wait upon him for the tasks that are before you. And my prayer for you is that you go from strength to strength individually. I see all kinds of great things taking place in this community because God's people are here. God himself is here. He is going to do wonderful things in this congregation and among people who wait upon him. We're going to ask Pastor David.